Well, church, it is so good to be with you on this Easter 2026. You know, I was thinking about this message this week and just how I wanted to begin. And ultimately, more than anything, you know, we celebrate Jesus every week in this place, right? We celebrate who he is. We celebrate the gospel, the good news, the resurrection every week. But this is a special time. This is the one day of the year where we get to really fully put on display who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And I think so often in life, especially I think when it comes to the Christian faith, it's very easy to have that moment where you put your faith in Jesus and you kind of have this awe and wonder for who he is. But then as you kind of begin to follow Jesus and the years go by, right? That awe and wonder can kind of start to diminish, can't it? Right? Think of it like this. Have you ever gotten a new phone before, right? You get the new phone, it comes in the cool new box and you pull it out of the phone. It's all shiny and new and like it's so fast. You turn it on and the screen is so clear and you're just like, wow, this thing is amazing, right? And then what happens? Like for me, it's like within days it feels like sometimes, but bare minimum, within weeks or months, it kind of loses its luster, doesn't it? It's not quite the same as when you pull it out. And yet what's crazy about that is, unless you like dropped it and broke it or like really jacked it up in some way, a few weeks later, or a few months later, the phone is still the same phone, isn't it? Still has the same power, still runs fast. It's still doing all the things that it did when you first pulled it out of the box. In the exact same way, here's what I feel like for many of us in our relationship with Jesus. Is we had this awe, this wonder moment of who Jesus was, and then as time went on, we just sort of slowly but surely stopped seeing how amazing it really is. He hasn't changed, has he? His power is still the same. He's still just as glorious and amazing, and what he did for us is still so incredible. His power hasn't changed, but our wonder has changed a little bit. And if I can do nothing else on this Easter 2026, it would be this. This would be my hope and my prayer. This is what I've been praying all week long. That I could just point you back to Jesus. That I could just help you maybe rekindle the wonder and the awe for who he is. Here's what I'm experiencing in my own life. The longer I'm alive, the longer I follow Jesus, the more I like go through the struggles and the trials of life, the challenges of life, the more grateful I am for my Savior. And I'm proud to say, I'm so thankful to be able to stand up here and say that my all and wonder for Jesus is so much greater now than it was a few years ago. It's certainly significantly greater than when I first came to know Jesus, really know Jesus as a young teenager. And I want that for you. I want your awe and wonder of Jesus to just continue to increase. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I don't know what your church background has been or what your faith background has been, but you're here and you're questioning, and maybe you have doubts and you're wondering, can I even believe in this Jesus? I want you to see today. I want you to be in awe and wonder of who he is. That's my prayer as we walk out of this place today. The wonder and awe of Jesus just increasing in our lives. And so I've chosen a passage of scripture today from 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's kind of an unorthodox, I think, Easter passage, but I think it's so powerful. I've been just reading it over and over again this week, and it has just been speaking to my heart, and I hope it speaks to yours this morning. I believe it's really an incredible reminder of what the resurrection means for our lives. Like so often, I think we get to Easter and we talk about Jesus and he's been raised from the dead, right? On the third day, he rose again and yay. And then we kind of move on to the next week and we just kind of go back to living the way we were before. I don't think that should ever be. And this passage, I think it reminds us not only of what we have in our future as followers of Jesus, but it reminds us of what God gives us now, right now, in this life through the gospel. And I hope we can see that today together. And so we're going to begin in verse 3. We're just going to read the whole text together here, and then we'll break it down. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so Peter begins here with this. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, praise God. He has sent Jesus Christ for you and for me. There is something inside of Peter that cannot contain the praise that he has for God because of what Jesus Christ has done for him. There is, I read that and I go, because there's an exclamation point there. Did you see that? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation point. It is, praise is bursting out of this man. He cannot contain himself from giving glory to God because of what he has done for him, right? There's this wow factor inside of Peter's heart. And I want us to see that, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, should cause us to be in awe. It should cause us to praise. Church, can I ask you this morning? Do you got a reason to praise? Amen. Yes, we do. We have got a reason to praise, no matter what's going on in our lives. God, I praise you. If nothing else in this life is going according to plan, I got Jesus, and I praise you, God, for that. I praise you for that. He couldn't contain it, and we shouldn't be able to either. Why can't he contain his praise? Let's go on. He says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance, he says, is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He says, first of all, I can't help but praise because God has shown me incredible mercy. The mercy of God is upon us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he offers to us. Do you ever think about what mercy really is? We talk about grace a lot in the church. We talk about mercy a lot in the church. But they're actually two different things. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. And oh, God pours out his grace on us and gives us so much more than we deserve. Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There isn't good news if there's not bad news. The bad news is we are sinners. We have rebelled against God. We do not deserve for him to ever show us mercy because of how wicked we are ultimately deep down inside. And yet, Jesus Christ chose to come into this world, live the life we could not live, go to the cross, die in our place. He puts himself in our place, takes all of the wrath of God upon himself that should have been on me, and then gives me his righteousness, makes me look perfect when I stand before God. That is the good news of the gospel. That is mercy. That is the love of God for you. He did that so willingly for you. didn't even think twice about that for a second. And I believe if you were the only person on this planet, he would have done it for you. I praise God for his mercy in my life. Praise him for it. But he doesn't just praise him for his mercy. Look at this. Look at what he says next. In his great mercy, he has given us what? New birth. He says, I praise God because we have been given new birth. Now, every one of us in this room, at some point, you had a physical birth, right? If you're here, you were born. Not to go Yogi Berra on you, right? You were born. You had a starting point. And when you started your life, everything was in front of you, wasn't it? Right? You had your whole life ahead of you. All the good things that people hope for in their lives and their children, it's all ahead of you. But as life goes on, right, it's some more of it's in the rearview mirror, right? I'm about halfway. If I'm blessed enough to live till I'm in my 80s, I'm halfway through my life. And I can tell you right now, and maybe somebody else in the room can resonate with this, I could use a reset on my body at this point. Like, it's not operating, it's not functioning the way that it always did, right? Like, it's getting hurt more and more often. I'm getting injured more and more often, right? Like, there used to be a time, I remember back in the day when I'd like go to the Walmart parking lot with my buddies and I'd try to scale like a 5-foot wall, and that's how I would get injured, right? Doing dumb things like that as a teenager. Now, here's how I get injured. That's it. That's all I got to do now. All I got to do is turn my neck the wrong way, and it's like I got in a 5-car accident. Right? I'm not kidding you. There were a few weeks ago, I was sitting at the dining room table and I turned my head to look at the thermostat, and I kid you not, it was like I couldn't move my neck for a week. I could absolutely use a reset. And I'm sure there's some other people in here, you can resonate with that. We are desperately in need. Here's the bottom line. Not just of a reset on our bodies. We are in need of a reset on our souls. We need to be born again. We need to be reborn. And here's the amazing truth of what the cross means, of what the resurrection means. The resurrection means you get a fresh start. Doesn't matter what has transpired in your past. You get a fresh start. That is a reason to praise, church. Amen? I'm so grateful for that. Not only do I get a fresh start spiritually, I get my spirit renewed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God promises us that one day we will receive a new body. When we go to heaven, we don't just get like a little bit of an upgrade to the body that we have. We get a complete full workover, a new body, complete like version 2.0. It's nothing like the one we're gonna have now. It's so much better. And it's going to last us for all of eternity. I praise God for that. And I know somebody else in the room is praising with me today. Number three, he says, why does he praise God? Not only has God shown us his mercy, not only has he given us new birth, he's given us a living hope. He has given us a living hope. Look at what he says. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into what? A living hope. And that language is so critical. You see, the reality is we put our hope in a lot of things in this world. People are putting their hope in things every day. They're putting their hope in money. They're putting their hope in relationships. They're putting their hope in their job, success, achievement. We can go on and on down the line. But every one of those things is going to die. That's the truth. It may provide hope for you for a moment, but eventually it's going to fade away. The hope that Jesus Christ offers you today, those of us in the room who are followers of Jesus, the hope that we already have is a living hope. It is a hope that can never, ever die. How amazing is that? That no matter what we go through, we can have hope. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, my hope can never, ever be taken away from me. It is eternal. It transcends our circumstances and the limitations of a fallen, sinful world. We have a living hope. Why do we have a living hope? Because our Savior did not stay dead in the grave, did he? No, he is alive and well, and he ain't ever going back to the grave. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And because of that, I now get to have a living hope. I praise God for that. Number four, though, he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. Peter praises God because we have a great inheritance. Again, let's read it again. Did you catch this? In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Church, hear me today. You have not just been born again. You have not just been given new life and a living hope. You have been adopted into an entirely new family. And with that new family comes an incredible inheritance. You've been reborn, but not just reborn into any old family. You've been reborn into the King of Kings family. Can we just stop and marvel at that for a second? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings with all of the rewards that come with that. Amen? That is amazing news today. We have a great inheritance waiting for us. Some of that we're already receiving. We're already receiving the benefits of being part of the King of Kings family. We have access, immediate access to go to him anytime, to talk to him, to have relationship with him. He's walking with us through all the things that we go through in this life. But then we also have this incredible future to look forward to. We have an inheritance. And unlike the earthly inheritances that we might receive, oh, don't miss this today. Peter says, the one that we have in heaven will never perish, it will never spoil, and it will never fade. Here's the reality. You might be sitting in here, you might have a multi-million dollar inheritance coming to you, I don't know. But I can promise you this, that inheritance could all be gone tomorrow. You don't know. At the very least, it could be significantly diminished. It could be, much of that could be spent before it ever even gets to you. The inheritance that we have in heaven, this is what Peter's saying. Nothing will ever take that away from us. We cannot lose it. Look at what he says. Look at these three words. It will never perish. That means it cannot be destroyed. It's safe. It's protected. Nothing can take that away from you. It won't spoil. That means nothing can even taint it. Not only will you not lose it, it won't even diminish. It is like, he says this, it will never fade. That word that's used there, the Greek word that's used there for fade, is the word that's used for a flower that slowly fades away. I've got daffodils out in my front yard right now. I've had them for about a week, and if they're lucky, they might make it another couple of days. Like, they are fading fast, man. The color is going, their petals are falling off, right? Today it's cold, right? This is what Peter is saying. This is the imagery he wants us to see. The eternal inheritance that we have waiting for us is like a flower that never fades. It's vibrant. It's colorful. It will never lose that. That's the inheritance that is waiting for us. He says this, it's being kept for us. And I love that language. The word that's used there is this word tetereminen. That's the Greek word. It means guarded. It's being protected, in other words, right? It's protected, frankly, in the most secure facility that it could possibly be protected in. It's being protected in heaven, right? You've heard of the FDIC, right? The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Well, ours is being protected in the HDIC, the Heavenly Deposit Insurance Corporation. That's where our inheritance is being stored. And you know who's guarding it? You know who's standing right at the front saying, no, nobody's ever taken this away. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished for us to receive that inheritance, and it is finished. I praise God for that. And Peter was praising God for that. And so knowing all of that, church, the second part of this verse, I believe what it speaks to is it should change the way we live. It's not just about what's going to happen in the future. It's a reminder to us of how we can live now. And Peter wants us to know this. He wants the church to know this. It's not just about our future hope. It's about the hope it brings now, even through the midst of life's most difficult seasons. Look at this with me. In verse 6, he says, "In all this you greatly rejoice." Yes, we praise God for all of that. "Even though now, for a little while, for this short time that we're going to be on this planet, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." He's writing this to a church who has been persecuted heavily, who has gone through really difficult challenges. He says, "Though these have come," don't miss this, "these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Knowing what Jesus has done for us and all that that means, all that the resurrection and the gospel means for us, yeah, it should cause us to have great rejoicing. But we all recognize this, don't we? It doesn't mean life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some hard things that we have to go through, some trials, the Bible calls them. And so what I want you to see here is this: Peter is trying to encourage the church. And this is still such an encouragement to me 2,000 years later. He says, "Church, you might go through some trials. In fact, you're going to go through some trials. But we don't go through trials the way the rest of the world goes through trials. We have a hope in our Savior that transcends those trials and helps us to get through those things and come out on the other side of it actually stronger than when we went through it, than before we went through it." I love this language that he uses here, right? The world, here's what the world does when they go through trials. They despair. There's fear. And I think even as Christians, there's a temptation to go there when we're facing hard things, right? I mean, am I the only one? Yeah, like there's a temptation to be afraid, to just get into this place of despair, to be woe is me, to think I'm ever gonna get out of this. But Peter wants the church to know this. We don't face trials the way the world faces trials. We have a different perspective. What is that perspective? When I go through a trial and my faith in God remains, it stays, I don't lose my faith, I continue to press on and trust God is gonna work through this somehow, some way. I don't know how. I can't see how it's all gonna work out, but I trust God. He's with me in this. And when I come out on the other side of it, I'm gonna be stronger. My faith is gonna be greater. It's gonna be stronger. Do you know what he says? That is worth more than gold. It is priceless. Priceless. To go through difficult times, difficult circumstances and trials in this life, and come out on the other side of it, having my faith even greater in God, trusting even more in the inheritance, even more in the future that lies ahead of me, is worth more than all of the money in the world. And for the people of this world, this is tragic. This breaks my heart. It's one of the reasons I get up here and talk so passionately about the gospel. There are so many people, and you might be one of them in this room right now, when you're going through trials, you don't have that hope. You don't have it. There's a despair. There's a fear. And man, I'm telling you right now, what Jesus offers you is the ability to go through every single trial of this life and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's only going to be for a time. It will come to an end. And one day, Jesus is going to make everything right. All things new. He's going to do that. And so I want to encourage you Church, somebody needs to hear this today. I don't know, maybe you've been going through a really hard season right now. Know that the testing of your faith is producing in you something greater than all the money in the world. Greater faith in him, greater trust in him. That is priceless. And if we can have that perspective, this is all Peter's trying to get him to see. If you can have that perspective, it changes the way you live your life. It gives a joy. He says, an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's what we get filled with as we go through those things. That doesn't even make sense, honestly. Humanly speaking, how? How's that even possible? It's only possible because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. I want to encourage you with this. Somebody needs to hear this today. God doesn't test us because he's trying to figure out if we have faith. He's God. He knows whether we have faith or not. You know why God allows us to go through trial and allows us to be tested? So that we know we have faith. So that I know, now my faith is strong. There's nothing that can shake me. I can go through the worst thing. I can go through hell on earth, but at the end of it, I know. I believe and I trust in the promises of God. And again, that is worth more than gold. And so finally, Peter says, one day Christ is going to return. And I love this encouragement that he gives to us. Christ is returning. And even if we get to the end of this life, we make it all the way through, we live till we're in our 80s or 90s, and we die, and we go to meet Jesus, eventually, one day, Christ is going to make all things new. And we're gonna stand before him, we're gonna be in his presence. And when we are, look at this. I love this in verse 7. He says, the result of our faithfulness, the result of the work that Christ has done in us, is that at the end of this life, it's gonna result in praise, glory, and honor for his people. I'm gonna stand before God one day, and he's gonna say, well done, Justin. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I long for that day. I long to hear the praise of my heavenly Father saying, Justin, you ran the race. You finished the race. Well done. We have that to look forward to, church. Even if we fail at everything else in this life, we have that to look forward to at the end of all of this. And for that, once again, I give him praise. One day our salvation will come to full maturity. That's the bottom line. One day I'm gonna get to stand in heaven with my Savior, and all this struggle will be in the rearview mirror, never to be seen again. Somebody needs to hear that today. And so as we close this Easter Sunday, 2026, here's what I simply want to remind us of. Or maybe for somebody in the room, just help you see for the very first time. What makes all of that possible? What makes new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade possible? It is the relentless, incredible love of Jesus Christ for you. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about the love that he had for you. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was beaten. He was forced to carry his own cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed him to a cross. They hung him up there for hours and they left him to die. And they kept mocking him the whole time he was up there. And as Jesus hung on that cross, do you know what he said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the love of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what, again, what you've heard about Jesus, what you've heard about Christians, what you've seen or maybe even experienced in your own life. But all I can say is this. You want proof of God's love for you? It's at the cross. It's at the cross. And when Jesus did that, he made it possible for us to experience everything good that God has planned for our lives. It all starts with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, in that moment, Jesus hung on that cross and he took the wrath of God for all of the sin of the world. Poured out on him. He took our place. When I talk about the gospel with my kids, this is what I say. This is the simplest way I can put it. Jesus in my place, that's the gospel. Him taking it so I don't have to. And then he gives me his righteousness. Oh, such an amazing, amazing truth. Why did he do it? Why would he go to those great lengths? Let me read it to you one more time for the people in the back. To give us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. That's what he wants for you, for your life. And so if you're a believer in the room today, let me talk to two groups for a second. If you're a believer, know this today. Those promises, they're already yours. Did you know that? They're already yours. Claim them today. Be confident in those things today and walk out of here. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. Live like your hope is alive. Can we do that, church? Live like your hope is alive because it is. It's alive and well because of what Jesus has done for you. Our hope is alive. What does that mean? What does that mean on the daily? It means that I can go through every trial and circumstance in this life and I can have joy. As crazy as that sounds, as crazy as that looks to the world around us, it means that my hope is not in the things of this world. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in things that are eternal, that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Live that way. It means that in every single circumstance I go through, the God who is alive, Jesus Christ, is walking beside me through every single thing that I go through. I'm not alone anymore. The practical application of this, church, is so fundamentally important. We have a hope to give others, don't we, church? Our hope is alive, which means we have hope to give. There are people in your life right now, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your communities, who desperately need hope today. And they're not gonna find it in the things of this world. Show them. Live it. Live like your hope is alive, and other people will actually see that. And if you are the skeptic in the room today, I want to close by talking to you just for a second. You've questioned and you've wondered and you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing. Here's what the gospel says. I'll say it one more time. We are sinners and we are in desperate need of saving. But praise God, he offers you new birth into a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's not because of anything that you did. You can't work your way to it. You can't earn it. And that's what we want in our humanness. We want to be able to say, I did it. I earned it. We can't. We cannot cover the debt that we have racked up. But the amazing truth of the gospel is Jesus says, you don't have to. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. That's what the song says, right? And so if you want that today, it's as simple as this. Turn from the things of this world that you have been putting your hope in and turn to Jesus as the only hope that you have. And the moment you do that right now in this place, doesn't matter what you've done, Jesus says, welcome to the family. Welcome to your inheritance. Welcome to living hope. Your hope ain't dead no more. And no matter what you do, you'll never lose it. You can't unearn it. And so I want to pray this morning, and I want to ask our worship team to come up, and we're going to close with a song. But I want to encourage you this morning, as you walk out of this place, to know to believe, really believe at your core, hope is alive. And as we sing the words of this final song that we're going to sing here, I want to encourage you to reflect on these words. He is our living hope that will never change. And my prayer is that we would just be in awe and wonder of that every day for the rest of our lives and never lose it. Father, I thank you and I praise you today. You are good. You are faithful to us. You have given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. God, and today we praise you. We praise you for that. As your church, we want to go into this, back out into this world, into our neighborhoods and our communities. We want to live that and we want to show that to those who desperately need it. And Father, I do pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, just moving in somebody's heart, that today would be the day they trust you as their Savior, put their faith in you, they believe, and they profess you are the only way. And God, I pray that you begin to just work in their lives. Fill them with your joy and your peace and your contentment, Lord. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' amazing and perfect name we pray. Amen.